people. I'm Lynn Griffin, the creator of The Halfway Port, a science fiction, outworldly steampunk novel. A mother and a group of teens from Earth get tangled in the threads of another planet. On that planet, airships rule the sky and technology has evolved by other means. Day-to-day devices run on steam and biotechnology has advanced to help a declining population known as the Dariel control genetically programmed servants cloned from their own flesh. Anyway, come check it out at www.lynngriffin.com. Catch you later.
We at the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast would like to celebrate the life of Anne McCaffrey by offering you this interview recorded with Anne and Lynn Griffin for the Lipstick Aliens podcast in 2007. Thank you, and may Anne rest in peace.
People of Earth, welcome to the Lipstick Aliens podcast.
Your hosts are two sexy sci-fi fangirls. G'day, I'm Lynn Griffin.
And hey, this is Kat. We're going to get Gabby about TV and movies and technology, and that's all from the perspective of us girls.
Not to mention advice on how to keep your lightsaber shiny, and how not to mess your hair when you walk through a stargate.
So join us in our weekly sci-fi antics here at the Lipstick Aliens podcast.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Aha! G'day, beautiful peoples, and welcome to another episode of Lipstick Aliens, show number 41. I'm Lynn Griffin.
Hi, this is Debbie. Kat's not here, but here's her excuse.
Hello, my alien love muffins. This is Kat. I'm not going to be in this week. I'm knee-deep in boxes and packing tape and stuff like that, moving. So I will be back next week, and I look forward to it. Bye-bye.
Well, I hope that move goes great, Kat.
Good luck with the move, Kat.
We're going to leave the TV talk and film talk for Kat next week, but we've got Debbie again as a co-host.
Yay, I'm back. We're going to start off with some sci-fi news.
Followed by an interview with Anne McCaffrey, the author of Dragon Riders of Pern, and a science fiction tip from Debbie.
What's happening in the news this week, Lynn?
Well, we've all been waiting for it. Babylon 5, The Lost Tales trailer is now available on their website and apparently comes out the 31st of July.
I'll have the Centauri Empire by its mighty throat.
Sinclair, I beseech you.
Arthur!
It has begun.
I have something for you.
He knows our system inside and out. He's smart, he's deadly, and he's after you.
All those great secrets of our ancestors.
That... which you do not know.
100 years of blood isn't something you forget overnight.
Your time is coming back!
Now for some really cool and interesting news. The Delphinus Intergalactic Parcel Service is now shipping near a planet near you.
What's that, Lynn? Do they take American Express?
Well, you can check them out at dipscorp.com. Well, what are they?
Okay, let me read that, Lynn. Okay, DIPS values you as a customer, whether you're a carbon-based life form, android, or of the living impaired community. Let us show you the full range of transportation services to help you synchronize your business, as well as the ways DIPS can make your day-to-day life easier by improving your shopping process with the Milky Way galaxy and beyond.
Wow, Debbie, I really want to send this pepper to another planet.
Who is it to?
It's to Mordib in Arrakis.
Oh no, Lynn. In the breaking news, war breaks out on Arrakis. Spice mining halted indefinitely. Many blame worms.
Oh no, it cannot be. Not the worms, not the spice worms. Oh my, Dibs, are you out there?
Yeah, it's at www.dipscorp.com.
The Delphinus Intergalactic Parcel Service. We're dedicated, we're dependable, we're DIPS.
I'm quite excited and happy to be interviewing one of the greatest female science fiction authors in history. Fantastic. She was the first woman to win a Hugo Award for fiction, has been named a Grandmaster by the Science Fiction Writers of America, and has been inducted into the Science Fiction Hall of Fame. She's most famous for the Dragon Riders of Pern series, which is my personal favourite, and direct from Dragonhold Underhill, we have Anne McCaffrey. G'day, right. Anne.
Yeah, g'day. Thank you. I've been in Australia twice now.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, once in 1980 and once in 1985. I learned that much at least.
I was wondering if you could tell the listeners a little bit about the world of Pern.
Well, it just happened. I was sitting in my living room in Seacliff, Long Island at the time, and I wanted to find another critter. I do critters well. So I tried to figure out, well, what would happen if I made the dragons the good guys and that there was a reason for them to be on their world? And then I had to think of the reason, and I don't like war, so I had to find something that was dangerous but didn't know it was the menace. So I decided there would be a spore falling from one planet to another and ate anything organic.
Yeah, I really
it drowned in water, and it couldn't penetrate stone and metal. But, you know, you certainly didn't want it growing in your back garden. And now, what would you do? How would you get rid of an airborne thing? Okay, you'd have dragons, and they would eat, chew a phosphine-bearing rock, and phosphine gas ignites when it hits oxygen, so there was a very good science fiction reason for dragons. Well, you know, that seemed a good reason to want to fight back and clear your property. And I decided that if we had an aerial source, it could be dragons, and they were the good guys, and you didn't want something that big flying over you with spitting fire when it needed to. So I decided that they would bond with a human when they hatched. And the bond would be absolutely irreversible. And that way you could control the dragons. And the dragons would need someplace different to live. So I had actually three different societies. The Lord Holders, who were the managed people and supplies during a 50-year fall, and the crafts hall, where people were taught how to continue their manual skills, and then the weirs, where the dragons were.
The weirs were my favorite?
The weirs, yeah. they're kind of fun. I don't know, it sort of all fell together, and I had two strong major characters, and then I invented Robinson. Actually, it was based on a man I knew.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, uh-huh. He was my vocal coach and taught me about stage direction of opera. So he was very nice. And he was such a charismatic character that I thought, okay, I will keep him forever as Master Harper Robinson. And, of course, he has a crush on Lessa, but that never comes out because Falara is far too strong.
Which was the dragon.
Yeah. But everything else sort of came out of a logical consideration of the options. I know women are not supposed to be logical, but if you're a writer, you better be.
Well, at least be close to logical so we can believe your story. I was very curious how you've kept the story going on from generation to generation, it seems. You've passed the torch of Pern down to your son, Todd.
Well, that was good. Now, Todd had always read science fiction. We used to have to buy him a new set of Lord of the Rings every Christmas because he'd wear the other one out. And I got to chatting with him sometimes, particularly if I needed something scientifically based, because he had a training as a mechanical engineer. And so we'd sit down and we'd chew the fat about the problem. And he was usually good about finding solutions for me. And then he went to the States to get a job because he didn't have a green card here in Ireland. And he became a computer programmer. And then the Pakistani sort of underbid all the American computer people. Mm. And Todd was out of a job. So he called me up one day and he said, I've got a wife and children to support. Can I write in Pern? I said, yes, you and your sister are the only ones who can write in Pern, because he sort of grew up with it. So he knows the ins and outs of the world and the customs.
In the background and everything.
In the background, yeah. So he submitted a book to my publisher. She liked it, irrespective of his mother, his maternity. And we both sort of glanced over it, and he would talk what he was going to do in the next book out with me, and I would, well, I haven't vetoed anything he's wanted to write since, so.
Fantastic. And then,
yeah. And then his third book, Dragon Fire, got on the bestseller list, and it was my third Dragon book that got on the bestseller list, too.
Well, like mother, like son.
Yeah. Well, I was sort of jostling him about it when we found out it was going to be published. And I said, now all you have to do is get on the bestseller list. And le voila, it was.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure the fans are really excited, really happy about that the stories are going to keep being told for many years to
yes.
come. There have been several attempts to bring Pern to the big screen. And I'm sure fans would love to hear the latest news. How is your film coming along with Copper Heart Entertainment, Anne?
Well, it has been with Copper Heart, and Steve Hoban is trying to match a director and a production man. There's a lot of pre-detail that has to be gone into and settled before you can actually start a movie. But he's plugging along, and he has quite a few candidates. Sometimes it's not that you don't ask people, it's that they don't have time on their schedule to fit it in. And the best people, of course, are very busy.
Oh.
So we have to wait until the one we want is available.
Yes, because I really think it would be great to bring the richness of Pern to the big screen. It would just be amazing, totally amazing.
It would. It would.
And I'd love to see your creations come to life and the way that you describe the dragons.
Stephen has asked both Gigi, well, all three of us, Gigi, Todd, and myself, how we see certain people, and we've given him our honest answers. So he has guidelines about all the major characters. A couple of times he said something that made Lessa look like a wimp.
Ah.
She's no wimp.
Very feisty.
Yeah. So we sorted that out.
So, Anne, who is your favorite science fiction female writer?
One of my favorite writers is Sharon Lee, who writes with her husband, Stephen Miller, with the Liadin series, which I think is marvelous. It's number one in my comfort book. I'm very fond of Elizabeth Moon and Elizabeth Ann Scarborough, with whom I collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
I've also collaborated with Elizabeth Moon. Lillian St. Croix, Lois Bujold, who's done some marvelous series. And Mercedes Lackey is a brand new writer out, Elizabeth Vaughn, who wrote War Prize and has gone on to in the series, and also Naomi Novik, who did His Majesty's Dragon, three books in that series. And I understand that's going to be filmed as well.
Oh, wow. So there's like a whole lot of dragon movies out now.
Yeah.
Because we just had Aragorn. When I saw Aragorn, I just thought, oh, I really wish I had Pern.
Yeah. Well, I would too, but we have to wait sometimes.
Yeah. Your writing has spanned many decades and real technology has advanced quickly. Has any technology you have written ever come true and did they get it right?
Yes, actually. When I was writing the Tower in the Hive series, I had to use pheromones as a way to trap the queen hivers. And the way you test smells is on a chromograph, but it's a huge, bulky thing. And so I talked to some people who do manufacture such items in Cambridge. And I said, isn't it a fair chance that since we will need to track smells down, that they would develop a portable one? And, and 6 months after the book was published, they called me to say that a portable gas chromatograph had been made.
Wow.
I don't know if it was the book or just coincidence. And there we are.
Yeah, well, many new technologies are founded on science fiction books.
Yeah, they are.
It takes
more than people think.
Oh, yeah, more than people think, because it's the creators and the creative thinkers that spark ideas.
Yeah.
Okay, Anne, thanks for your time.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, that was the most absolutely awesome Anne McCaffrey. If you want to find more about the Dragon Riders of Pern or any more of Anne McCaffrey's works, just check out the link in the show notes.
Voicemails.
Arr, ladies, arr. Thank you for leaving me called the Lipstick Aliens Podcast. Arr. Okay, this is Matt. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Pirates, the Pirates movie. I liked it, and the place where he was supposed to be where Johnny Depp was, where Captain Jack Sparrow was a kind of purgatory. So that's why it was so kind of weird, and I thought the lobster things were really kind of cool, actually. So he was supposed to be in kind of a purgatory. The other thing I wanted to discuss, which I thought was totally a big fat waste of time, was the woman who was the priestess. She was kind of the witch, and she grew to like 150 feet tall, and I was like, what was the point of that? Because after she did that, she didn't do anything.
Yeah, Matt, you're dead right there. That was a waste of time.
Also, I wanted to discuss Sanctuary, the internet show. That is great. And you were talking about Amanda Tapping's accent in the last episode. I listened to an audio interview with her. If you go to the website that you guys have linked, sanctuaryfan.com, it talks about, she has an interview on there about how she talks about the voice. And it's supposed to be that she's, you know, supposed to be hundreds of years old, so she's traveled. So, as you know, whenever you go to a different place, you pick up the accent of the other people. That's why her accent isn't supposed to be perfect.
Ah, you got that one right. Yeah, that is. That's what happens. I wonder if I'm going to get an American accent when I'm listening to you guys. No, I won't. I won't put on an American accent.
And a perfect example of this is I'm from Saratoga, New York, originally, but I spent the last 30 years or so in Maryland, where I am now. And when I was younger, we moved here when I was about 5, I started to pick up the Baltimore accent, which everybody pronounces water in Baltimore, woulda, or woulda. Yeah, so, you know, I'd ask for a glass of woulda. So, you know, because that's how they pronounce stuff. So it does happen, you do pick up other people's accents. Another thing I wanted to discuss was, how are you coming with Space Quest?
Well, Matt, I'm actually stuck. So if anyone else out there also played Space Quest 1, maybe they can help me. I've got Roger Wilco running around getting beat up by this spider droid. I was actually trying to read up how to get around it, but I actually think the game is running too fast because I'm on a Pentium and it was designed to run on a slower machine. And maybe I have to get some sort of emulator or something to slow the game down. Because I'm in the desert and there's this skeleton and it keeps saying I need to drink water, so Roger Wilco gets water out of his sack and keeps drinking it, and then all of a sudden this spider droid comes and goes, dun, 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 dead. So, I'm kind of stuck, so help.
And I think you ladies are great, and take care, I love the podcast. Stay cool, ladies. Bye-bye, this is Matt.
I just want to leave you a Debbie tip before I go.
And what's that, Deborah?
Warnings and offences. You might run into a spirit who was not so nice when he or she was still among the living. If you happen to contact one who seems mean or makes you feel uncomfortable, try these techniques to get the spirit to leave.
Oh, sounds spooky, Debbie!
Okay, what you need to do is remember that spirits only have as much power over you as you allow them. You are in the physical world. They are no longer.
Ooh, you mean you actually believe in spirits, Debbie?
Okay, step number 2 is ask for help. There is a hierarchy in the spirit world, and the ones who have been there the longest, know as the exalted ones, will often come to your aid when asked.
Really? Who are the exalted spirits that are going to come to my aid?
I believe there's Elvis, Cleopatra...
Elvis and Cleopatra!
Okay, another one is quickly close the portal. Make your apologies to the other spirits. Quickly recite your portal closing request.
Hang on a minute, is that the dark portal?
I'm not too sure about the dark portal. Okay, if none of these techniques work, I'll get back to you with how to fend off a ghost next time.
Okay, Debbie. Thanks for the tip. Cleopatra. We got some iTunes reviews.
Thanks, Lipstick Aliens, for representing us females sci-fi fans. By Didi Jennings. A sci-fi podcast for women is definitely an idea whose time has come. Lynn and Kat do a great job giving sci-fi news and reviews. You can hear how enthusiastic they are about science fiction and technology.
Great iTunes review there, Jenny.
Well, I guess that's the end of another episode of Lipstick Aliens. So, if you want to leave us a voicemail, leave it at...
Call 206-338-LIPS. 206-338-5477.
And don't forget to email us at lips@lipstickaliens.com.
And thanks, Debbie, for a short and sweet cameo.
Thanks for having me, Lynn. Bye.
Bye.
End of line.